Jaya Radha Madhava. Is that okay? Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava. Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava. Kunja Bihari. Gope jana balaba girivana dari Gope jana balaba girivana dari Yasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. So now we'll have a short class and then an Abhishek. Om Agyanate Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmain Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadate Swabarandekam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajevam Sadvaitam Sadvairutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Paran Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakapa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Vavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha So thank you all for coming today to this glorious Janmashtami celebration. My name's Satyadev Das, for all of those of you who don't know me. And so Janmashtami, Krishna's appearance day, whenever the Lord appears, it's very mysterious, and really it's unfathomable. But we don't have to fathom it. Really, we just have to appreciate it and have faith in it. And we'll talk more about that. But once upon a time, 5,000 years ago, the earth was overburdened with many, many demons. And actually, there were many warriors on the planet, and the earth was feeling a great burden, something like today. The earth is also feeling a great burden. So when the earth is really, really feeling overburdened, she assumes the form of a cow. Her name is Bhumi. And she went to the supreme administrator of the universe, Lord Brahma. Just like when we have complaints about how the city is being run or something's not going right, we go right to the mayor, right, and voice our complaints, or go to our congressman. So Bhumi, she went to Lord Brahma, and she said, "Lord Brahma, something has to be done. I'm just feeling the weight of this burden of so many sinful people." And Lord Brahma, immediately, he understood Bhumi's distress, and he wanted to do something about it. He wasn't a lazy do-nothing leader. He took action. But he's not the supreme. So he went to the ocean of milk to pray to Shirodakshai Vishnu, who's lying down on the ocean of milk. And he went to the ocean of milk, assembled with all the other demigods, and they began to pray to Lord Vishnu to please do something to relieve the stress of that Bhumi is going on in the earth. And so they prayed and they prayed and they didn't hear any answer. And so Lord Brahma, he sat down into meditation, and he began to meditate upon the Lord and pray to the Lord within his heart. And sure enough, in a short time, he heard the Lord's voice. He didn't see the Lord, but he heard the Lord's voice, just like he did many eons ago when he meditated upon the Lord. At that time, he didn't hear the Lord's voice, he heard the Lord's flute. And when he heard the sound of Krishna's flute, within his heart, all Vedic knowledge was awakened, and through his mouth, the sounds of the Vedas came and the Gayatri mantras came. So in the same way, he was sitting on the ocean of milk and he was meditating upon the Lord, and then he heard the Lord's voice, and the Lord said, "I will take birth very soon to relieve the burden of the earth, and I want all the demigods to take birth before me, and I want them specifically to take birth in the Yadu dynasty so that they can assist me in my plans." And so the demigods all took birth, and they took birth in the Yadu dynasty, and they prepared for the appearance of the Lord. And then he told them one other thing. He said, "Before I take birth also, Anantasesh, who's none other than Lord Balaram, who's actually the maintainer of the spirituals and the material worlds, he'll also take birth just before me to pave the way and set things up. And not only that, Maya herself will take birth as my sister." And so he also told them that Lord Balaram and Subhadra would be taking birth as well. And so then eventually he took his birth, and he killed so many demons, and he restored religiosity to the planet. And so, if we want to actually understand the Lord and his appearance, who's the best person who can tell us except for the Lord himself? And he tells us very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita about his appearance. And in fact, he says, anyone who can understand it, it's such an auspicious thing. Anyone who can understand the appearance of the Lord doesn't take birth again in this material world. And normally, to get liberation and not take birth again in this material world is not such an easy thing. So, all of us here who are celebrating this Janmashtami day, who comes to celebrate Janmashtami who doesn't have faith in the appearance of the Lord? So we're, as Vaish often says, Vaish Sheshika Prabhu, we vote with our feet. So everyone who's come here to the temple today, they're proclaiming their faith in the holy transcendental appearance of Lord Krishna. So let's read from the Bhagavad Gita a little bit, shall we? Where Krishna, he gets the opportunity to explain the nature of his appearance to Arjuna, because Arjuna had a question. And like so many places in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining so much information for our benefit because of the questions Arjuna is posing. So Krishna, he begins in the fourth chapter to explain to Arjuna that this isn't the first time he spoke the Bhagavad Gita, that he's spoken this Bhagavad Gita, this information before. Actually, he'd spoken it to the sun god, Bivaswan. And Arjuna said, wait a minute here. Aren't we about equals as far as age goes? How is it that you spoke this information to the sun god Vivashwan, it must have been millions of years ago? And because of that question, now Krishna was able to really explain the transcendental nature of his appearance. So we'll start out with verse 6 of chapter 4. I have to take off my glasses. So now I can't see you, but I can read. I just don't want to wear bifocals. So, ajopi san avi atma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritam swamadishtaya sambhavatmi atmamayaya. Anybody know this verse? I know you. What's the translation?
Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, still by my own energy I invent myself.
Millennium,
although I am the Lord of all beings. Janamishvaropisam, Prakritim Swam, Adishtaya, Sambhavanam, Millennium after millennium,
I invent myself. Yeah, so Aja means unborn. So Krishna says, I'm Aja, and I'm Aviyam. My body doesn't deteriorate. I'm the Lord, Bhutanam Ishvaropisam. I'm the Lord of all living beings. I appear in my transcendental form. And so he appears to take birth, but he doesn't take birth normally. And he doesn't appear in a material body. He appears in a transcendental, his original transcendental body. He doesn't change bodies. So that's a big difference right there. And he says he appears again and again. And then he also explains why he appears. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutanama dharmasya tadatmaham srijamyaham. Said, whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So one may ask the question, well, God, how bad does it have to get before the Lord appears? Things don't look so good right now. We've strayed away so far from our connection with nature, the earth, and the Lord. And it appears that we can just do anything scientific on our own and just manipulate the material energy, and that we don't need the Lord. But things are getting more and more out of whack. But eventually, when things are really, really bad, he does appear, and he'll appear again as Kalki. But Lord Chaitanya has also said that the Lord has appeared in the Kali Yuga. Kali Kali Namarupe Krishna Avatar Namahaite Haya Sarva Jagat Nishtar. Lord Chaitanya says that in this age of Kali, Kali Kali Namarupe Krishna Avatar, Krishna appears in the form of his name, in the form of the holy sound vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the Lord's transcendental form. It's none different than the Lord, but he appears in the transcendental sound. So he's appeared in this Kali Yuga, and although things look pretty grim, and the Bhagavatam says that, Kalir dosha nide rajan astiheko mahanguna kirtanav eva krishnasya mukta sangha paramvrijat. Although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, and we see chaos and fighting and misery all around us, and it's very disturbing, still there's one good quality. Simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord, one can transcend the influences of the Kali Yuga. So the Lord has appeared in his holy name. He also appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only 500 years ago to initiate this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And we're hearing this Maha Mantra, we're receiving it directly through the chain of disciplic succession coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's full of his potencies. So all that we have to do is chant the holy name either silently or aloud every day and associate with that name by being fully present for it, and we'll avoid all the negative influences of the Kali Yuga. So Krishna says that he appears in order to reestablish the principles of religion, and he's done that in the Kali Yuga in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of his holy name. So he says, whenever there is a decline in religious practice, so descended to Bharata, and a predominant rise of your religion, at that time I descend myself. So he's descended. And he also says, Paritranaya Sarunam, Vinasham Chuduskitam, Dharma Samstar Pranartaya, Sambhavatmi, Yuge Yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. And so Krishna is also saying that he comes in order to protect the devotees and to annihilate the demons. But we know that really he doesn't need to come personally to annihilate the demons. He can do that by just inventing one little virus would take to wipe everyone out if he wanted to. And we see that happens. Sometimes a virus comes comes on very strong, very heavenly. We don't hear about it too much, but there was a virus that came in just before, I think, World War I that wiped out millions of people.
Toward the ones,
and just so Krishna, he doesn't have to come personally in order to wipe out demons, but he comes to show mercy to the devotees, and also to perform his transcendental activities so that we can get a glimpse of the Lord and what he's like and what the spiritual world is like, so we don't have to speculate on the nature of the Lord. So this comes to the verse that I really want to come to, where Krishna is explaining how precious his appearance is, and how transcendental his appearance is, and how anyone who has faith in that receives the supreme benefit. So he says, which is really good news, Janma karma cha me devyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakvadeha punarjanma Naiti mam iti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, or Arjuna. So we may hear this verse and we think, oh yeah, understand. Well, I don't understand anything of the Lord's appearance. I can't even understand I'm not my body. So that's great. You know, only those who can understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord don't take birth again in this material world. But when we read Prabhupada's purport, we understand that that's not what Krishna means by understand. He means not that we have complete realization of the nature of the appearance of the Lord, that we can perceive and understand all the nuances and the details of the nature of the Lord. Actually, he says it's just the conviction that the Lord is the Lord and I am his servant, and that the Lord can do anything he wants, just to have that faith. That's what it means to understand. So I'm going to read Prabhupada's purport, because I love it so much. A purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand in truth the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is the risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholarship and empiric philosophers, as stated in the Vedas. So Prabhupada says we have to understand this, the appearance of the Lord, with conviction, even though it's unfathomable. So by faith, by accepting the fact that God is God and I'm not, and that when he comes, he can come and do whatever he likes in any way he likes, at any time he likes, without any restriction. If one has, that's conviction. And so we wouldn't be here today unless we had that conviction. I'm sure if it was Monday or Tuesday, you would all be here. Right? And many devotees are even fasting. So that's showing some conviction. So in the Upanishads, it said, Eko Devo Nityam Lila Narakto Bhaktya Vyapi Riyantar Atma. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms and relationships with his unalloyed devotees. The Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authorities of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculation, attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. So here it is again. Even more explicitly, Prabhupada is saying that one who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas. So we may not really understand it, we may not realize it, but if we accept the authority of the Vedas and we don't waste our time in philosophical speculation, one attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Lord Chaitanya, he made a similar statement. This is a statement also from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. He says, Gyane priyasam utapashya namanta eva jivanti samukaritamba vidyavartam staneshita shudigatam tanubhammanobir ye priyaso jita jita yasi trishilokyam. Lord Chaitanya said, don't waste time trying to understand the Lord and His appearance by philosophical speculation. He said, you'll never understand the Lord by your own power, because the Lord is unlimited and you're not. We're not. You know, He's achinta. He's unlimited. And He's also ajita. It means He's unconquerable. So you cannot figure Him out. I cannot figure Him out. You cannot figure Him out. We cannot figure Him out. But Lord Chaitanya says, just stay in your position. If you're a householder, remain a householder. If you're a sannyasi, stay a sannyasi. If you're a student, be a student. But whatever your position is, listen with faith to the glories of the Lord. Hear about His activities, like that are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other authoritative scriptures. Hear about, read the Krishna book, hear about those pastimes, and stay in your position. And by doing that, your love for the Lord will awaken. And when your love for the Lord awakens, He becomes conquered. So the unconquerable becomes conquered by our faith and by our love. And in this way, He will reveal Himself. So that's the way to understand the Lord. And according to Prabhupada in this purport, one who accepts the transcendental nature of the Lord's appearance and celebrates the holy days like Janmashtami or Ram Navami, this person is a candidate to go back home, back to God. And even though liberation from this material world is very difficult for one to do it on one's own power through the practice of yoga or, you know, self-inquiry, jnana yoga. Hmm. So continuing on here, simply by accepting this truth on faith, one can without a doubt attain liberation. Vedic version, tattvamasi, is actually applied in this case. Tattvamasi means you are that. Or, according to Lord Chaitanya, it also means I am His. That's another story, though. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, you are the Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, is certainly liberated instantly. And consequently, his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection. And this is confirmed by the following Vedic assertion. Tam eva viditvati mrityum eti nanyam panta vidyate yanaya. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there is no other way to achieve this perfection. This is a quotation from the Sweta Sweswatara Upanishad. That there are no alternative means, that anyone who does not understand the Lord as Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not obtain salvation simply, so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey, or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. And so, it sounds simple, Just have faith in the Lord. Faith that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that when he appears in this world, it's transcendental. But that faith does not come so easy. And even if one is a mundane scholar and can repeat all of the verses of the Bhagavad Gita or the Mahabharata or all the Vedas, if one doesn't have this faith, if one is just interested in collecting information and being able to spout it off to others, that's not faith. Actually, Prabhupada indicates at the end of the purport that this faith is only attained by the causeless mercy of the devotees of the Lord. This is how bhakti comes into the material world and is distributed through the devotees of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya also said this when he says, Gyane Prayasam Uttapashyamante Eva Jivati Samukaritam Bhavadiya Vartam Staneshtitam Shrutikatam Tanavam Manobir. Said, hear the Shruti from the pure devotees of the Lord. When we hear from someone who has faith, we get faith. It just comes from that heart to our heart. It's very mystical. It's very transcendental. It's causeless mercy. To actually have faith in the personality of Godhead is attained after many, many births, after one gets the mercy of a devotee. One gets that faith. There's a verse, I think it's the third or fourth canto. Satam prasangam mama virya sambhino vavante hrit karana rasayana kata tajjoshad asva vavarga martmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukrimishyati. Where's that from, Vaish? You know? 325. So that's Lord Kapila Dev? Speaking to Mother Devahuti. Satam prasangam mama virya sambedo bhavante hrit karana rasayana kata. Lord Kapila says, when you hear from the satam, when you hear from the pure devotees of the Lord, those who actually have this faith and love and devotion in the Lord, when you hear from them, the sound vibration goes into the ear, and it's a very pleasing sound, and it enters the heart. Satam prasangam mamavirya sambhido bhava. How's it go? Bhava. Hrit karana. Hrit karana. From the karana to the hrit. From the ear to the heart. Rasayana kata means it's a very pleasing sound. It's very attractive. And we all, most of us, who had, all of us, I'm sure, that are here have had this experience. When we read Srila Prabhupada's books, for example, and we hear about the glories of the Lord, it's so pleasing. And it awakens our faith. It goes right into the heart. So, rit karana rasayana kata tasjoshan asva vargavartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukamishati. So, you know, for every action, there's a reaction. So, when we hear the transcendental message of the Lord from the pure devotees, it enters the heart, and there's a reaction. And the reaction is first there's faith, shraddha, and then ratir, attachment, rati, and bhaktir, love, in that order. Shraddha, ratir, bhaktir, anu kramishyati. Krama means, you know, step by step in those steps. So we're greatly, greatly fortunate to be in the association of Srila Prabhupada and all of his followers and the whole disciplic succession, because when we hear from them, there's no misconception about the nature of the Lord can enter in. They attack every misconception, every kind of speculation from every little angle, especially Srila Prabhupada and his purport, so that there's no doubt about the transcendental nature of the appearance of the Lord. So really, anyone who hears his words, reads his books submissively, has the opportunity really to get this faith, even though one is not coming from a transcendental background. One can be coming from the lowest background, But if one simply submissively hears, tries to understand the nature of this transcendental vibration, goes into the heart and awakens the heart. That's the nature of transcendental sound. And that's the only thing, really, that can awaken bhakti. We can do so many activities to support our bhakti. You know, we may be studying and we may be very austere and doing different vrats and following rules and regulations. But these things are in support of bhakti. What really awakens the bhakti is receiving that bhakti from someone who has the bhakti, someone who has that faith. And that's what awakens it within our heart. Yeah. There's another verse in the Bhagavatam that talks about this process of how faith is awakened, how Krishna is born really within the heart, within our heart, by the mercy of the pure devotees. How much time do we got here? 10 minutes? King Prithu Maharaj, after he performed great austerities and penances and sacrifices, Lord Vishnu actually appeared before him. This is in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Vishnu, he asked him for any benediction that he'd like. And you never guessed what he asked for. Does anybody know what he asked for? Besides Vaisheshika Prabhu? He asked, how does that verse go? Sa uttama sloka mahanmukha chato bhavat parambhoja sudakina nilam shmitirm punar vishmanatartmanartmana kuyogino vitarata harambarai. He asked for the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotees of the Lord. Because he said, the dust of the lotus feet. Actually, he wanted the dust that comes off the lotus feet of the Lord and mixes with the sound vibration of the pure devotees. That's how it goes. So when the pure devotees are glorifying the Lord, the sound vibration hits the lotus feet of the Lord. And the lotus feet of the Lord are very saffron in color. And so there's these little saffron mercy particles. The sound vibration mixes with the saffron mercy particles and it enters the heart and awakens faith. And so Prithu Maharaj, he asks, just please give me the association of your pure devotees. That's all I need. Because if I have that, then I'll have unflinching faith in the lotus feet of the Lord and I'll be on the safe side. And so really, we're gathered here today celebrating the appearance of the Lord because we have faith in the transcendental nature of the Lord and His appearance. And we have that faith by the mercy of the Lord through the mercy of His pure devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his prayer, Sura Bhakata, he starts off with that prayer. He's talking about all the favorable things there are in devotional service, or the things that we should do that are favorable for awakening devotion. The first thing he talks about is getting the mercy of the devotees of the Lord. Then the next thing he talks about, I think, is that celebrating days like Ekadasi and Janmashtami, he actually says Janmashtami in the song, our mother of devotion. He says that when we celebrate these days, when we take the time, because we could be doing so many different things, right? We could be sitting at home watching TV or going to a Giants game or just hanging out with the family. But no, we're here at the temple. And so he says those who actually take the time and out of faith celebrate the appearance days of the Lord, like Janmashtami, he says, this is what awakens devotion within our heart. You know, following Ekadasi, observing Janmashtami. And so we can expect tomorrow we'll have just a little bit more devotion maybe for the Lord, a little bit more faith. We'll be a little bit more on the transcendental side as opposed to the influenced by the material modes of nature. And so that's the result, even unknowingly. Someone may even be here unknowingly. Actually, for myself, the very first time I went to the temple was unknowingly on Janmashtami. I was in Tokyo, and it was 1970, and Prabhupada was there with a group of devotees, and he was traveling on his way to India, and he was actually going to India after he had come to New York and just got the Krishna consciousness movement going. Now he was going to go back to India to really begin the Krishna consciousness movement in India. And so he was bringing some senior disciples with him and going to India with that intention. And so those devotees happened to be in Tokyo, in a place called Ginza, a very posh, very expensive shopping area. And I had been in Tokyo about 2 months. Actually, I grew up here in the Bay Area in San Francisco. And I was only 19, but I was there working on the street, doing some nonsense work. And I saw the devotees chanting. I'd never seen devotees before chanting. And they were having a Hari Nam. And I joined the kirtan and walked up and down Ginza. And at the end of the kirtan, they invited me back to the temple. And they said, "Oh, you should come back to the temple. We're going to have a big feast tonight at midnight." And I said, "Oh, that sounds exciting. Okay, I'll go." And I went to the temple, and at midnight, they had this really great feast cooked by Kirtananda Swami, who was personally trained by Prabhupada how to cook. And we had prasadam that I didn't have for a few years after that. You know, we had gulab jamuns and pushpa rice. Pushpana rice and samosas and eggplant sabji. I'd never eaten an eggplant before. So it was this wonderful feast, and it was Janmashtami, and then the next day was Vyas Puja Day, and Srila Prabhupada came that day, and it was the first time I met Srila Prabhupada. So it's very appropriate that we celebrate Srila Prabhupada's appearance day right after Lord Krishna's appearance day, because by his mercy we're all devotees and we all have faith in Krishna. So that's the end of my little talk today. Thank you very much for listening. Hare Krishna. So does anyone want to share? We don't have our microphones to pass around today, huh? We do have microphones to pass around. No. Where's our microphone devotee? But they're not quite ready for So anyone who wants to share or has a question can raise your hand and we'll pass you a mic. Share something, Prabhuji? 2 minutes? 2 minutes. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. I might be a little late tomorrow morning. We have one appointment for my mother-in-law who had heart valve replacement at about 11. So I want to combine a few things in 2-3 minutes. First of all, what you said about hearing from the pure devotees is so important. And for this reason, Srila Prabhupada, he worked so hard on his Gurudev's order to translate and to comment on the important Vaishnava literatures. And when we look at the result, we can understand his intent, and who knows better than Vaisheshika Prabhu, because he's been so determined and dedicated to distributing Srila Prabhupada's books for so long. The reason is this. If you look at the history of religion and how there's revisions of so many things going on because of what we call self-interest, we see that time and time again. Even within our ISKCON, we see self-interest creeping in. And Srila Prabhupada, he described that like someone who is like a fly on the lap of a king. Because the king looks out and he sees all of the subjects, and then the fly comes and sits on the lap and thinks, oh, these are all my subjects. You see, so this is envy, and we are here in the material world because of some kind of envy of God. We want to be the center. We want to be the enjoyer. We want to look out at things and think that these are mine. And Srila Prabhupada, being truly a pure devotee of the Lord, in his genius, he understood, even seeing in his own Gurudev's mission, how things could become corrupted, that the best way to avoid that is to have a standard by which people truly can be benefited by proper hearing. And so his books represent that. And even if someone, so-called exalted devotee in the movement, should later fall down, still we have that. You see, because that never changes. And for that reason, we can understand the beauty of the Vaishnava, the true Vaishnava, because such Vaishnava has no interest apart from Krishna's interest. And now I want you to make an imagination right now, because it's Janmashtami. I want you to imagine that you are Vasudev and Devaki. Use your imagination. And your brother Kamsa has imprisoned you. And you're now inside a dark, and remember there was no electricity at that time, a dark prison, dungeon. And because of his paranoia, and because of Narad Muni's prediction, you are having child after child. And place yourself into the situation empathetically, that as child after child is born, Kamsa has come and he has taken this new infant and he has crashed it upon the ground to kill it. You can't imagine that happening today. It would be unbelievable. And this was going on one after another in this dungeon. And then finally, Krishna appeared in his four-handed form before them. You know, he was not born by any kind of conventional mean. He appeared before them, glowing in his effulgence. And when one sees Krishna like this, you don't have to kind of speculate, is he God? Is he not God? Is he God? Is he not God? There's no jnana like that. It is self-evident that he is the supreme creator of everything. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says, when you have thus learned the truth, you will know that all living entities, they are in me and are mine. And you know you also belong to Krishna. You also belong to that Lord Vishnu. And he appeared like that. And what was Devaki's and Vasudev's sentiment? Sentiment was rasa. I have to protect him. Imagine that. Their sentiment wasn't like, you know, like you're being picked on by someone. And then all of a sudden some big, you know, humongous, strong person comes along. And then you think, oh, this person is going to get back at me, at my enemy. Revenge. That wasn't their sentiment at all. Because their sentiments, because of their love for Krishna, were purely transcendental in Vatsalya Ras. And they're thinking, I have to protect him. Imagine, go into that mindset. Because really, when we meditate upon the rasa and upon the Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna Leela, remember, Krishna Leela is the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The first 9 cantos, you've learned about the greatness of God. Who is he? What is the greatness of devotion? Prahlad. So many wonderful things are discussed. And then there is Krishna Leela. So much so that when Krishna is crawling upon the floor of Nanda Maharaj with the sandals upon his head, Shukadeva Goswami is just amazed that this Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am amazed to see him crawling on the floor with sandals upon his head of his father. How amazing is that? So this mood of Devaki and Vasudev was because of their Vatsalya Ras. I have to protect Krishna. And then the Leela progresses as Vasudev takes him across Yamuna to Vrindavan, like that. This kind of interest in Krishna's interest is what is pure devotion. And we all aspire to have that kind of connection with Krishna. This is our hope. This is our prayer, to have that kind of connection. But we get that not because of any mental adjustment that we make. As Prabhu is saying, it is by hearing about Krishna properly from pure devotees that we get that. It is simply by hearing about it. That is the potency of the hearing. You don't have to make mental adjustments. Oh, if I do this, then I'll be there. If I do that, then I'll... No. Simply by hearing and chanting the holy name and hearing about the pastimes of Krishna, all of that can come spontaneously by the grace of the Lord. So anyway, just a little bit to speak, something like that. That Srila Prabhupada's appearance day tomorrow, I may not have a chance to talk, but I wanted to mention how important his book distribution is and why it is so important. It's not a mundane thing. It is giving people the opportunity to hear from a pure devotee what is important to hear, like that. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
We're counting down the minutes until the Abhishek, where Krishna will be appearing in that Shnan Patra, and the pujaris will be bathing him, and at the meanwhile, we'll be chanting the holy names and observing the occasion, just as when Krishna made his appearance thousands of years ago. Are you ready? Okay. Let's have more chanting. We'd like to thank Satyadev Prabhu for a lecture tonight. Hare Krishna. We'd also like to thank guest appearance by Pushta Krishna Prabhu. Hare Krishna.